I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. This coming Monday looks set to be a historic day for everybody on Earth. The UN estimates that Monday is the day the globe's human population will reach 7 billion. That number, 7 billion, is stirring warnings about overpopulation. But as the World Science correspondent Ritu Chatterjee reports, human impact on the planet isn't simply about the numbers.
There's nothing special about the number 7 billion by itself.
It's just basically a big round number.
That's Robert Engelman, a population expert and the president of the World Watch Institute in Washington. But Engelman says big round numbers like these give us an opportunity to revisit discussions about the impacts of a rapidly growing human population.
We hit 6 billion in just in 1999, and here we are 12 years later, and we are at 7 billion, raising questions about whether we will successfully get to 8 billion, 9 billion, or beyond without seeing rising death rates relating to food insecurity, disease, conflict.
Alarm bells have been rung about all those possible results for at least two centuries. Around 1800, demographer Thomas Robert Malthus warned that food supplies wouldn't be able to keep pace with growing numbers of people. And he predicted that at a certain threshold, which he set at 1 billion, there would be massive disease outbreaks, famine, and a crash in human numbers. And yet, today, human population is seven times Malthus's crisis threshold. Granted, disease outbreaks and famine remain a serious problem in many parts of the world. But the average human is living a longer, healthier life than in Malthus's time. That's led many to dismiss Malthus's theory. Well, not so fast, says Jonathan Foley, the director of the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment.
Humans aren't exempt from Malthus's observation. We just postponed it again and again and again through innovation.
Foley says the Industrial Revolution, the Green Revolution, and other new technologies boosted agricultural productivity far beyond Malthus predicted.
But at the end of the day, Malthus's ghost is still lurking above us.
We may have innovated our way out of mass starvation and other problems so far, but Foley says those very innovations have created a host of environmental problems that threaten our future. Take agriculture, for example.
Feeding 7 billion people takes a lot of land, a lot of water, and a lot of energy. 40% of all of the land on Earth is devoted to growing food. 70% of all the water we consume on the planet is used to irrigate crops. And about a third of all the greenhouse gas emissions come from agriculture.
That makes agriculture the single biggest contributor to climate change, loss of species, and global water shortages, all of which scientists warn are reaching critical points. Foley says we are already running into several limitations.
The limit of our ability to feed the world, our ability to stabilize our climate, the ability to keep the biosphere intact, and the ability to keep our water resources intact. We can't invent our way out of every limit. We can push closer and closer to the physical limits of a planet, but we're running very close to the edge already.
So what does this mean for our future, and how many more people can the planet support? For population expert Laurie Mazur, the answer is...
It depends.
Mazur directs the nonprofit Population Justice Project. She says it's not just about the number of people, but also about how much each person is consuming.
If everybody on the planet ate like people in India, mostly vegetarian diet, the world's agricultural production today could feed about 10 billion people. But on the other hand, if we all ate like those of us in the United States, a very meat-intensive diet, current agricultural production would feed only 2.5 billion people.
That's because 40% of today's crops are used as animal feed, making dairy and meat production one of the most inefficient kinds of farming. Meanwhile, most consumption today is by people in developed countries. But that's changing fast as big countries like China and India develop. And Mazur says that's not a bad thing.
Half of the world's population now lives in poverty on less than $2 a day. But that should not remain the case.
All of these people have a right to more comfortable lives. But Mazur does agree that the challenge of providing a better life to more people would be easier with fewer of us on the planet. Besides, she says the task of reducing our numbers just isn't that difficult.
This is something we absolutely know how to do.
The average number of kids per woman has fallen from 5 in 1950 to 2.5 today, thanks to successful family planning programs.
You don't have to control anyone to slow population growth. The best way to slow growth is by educating girls, by empowering women, by ensuring access to reproductive health services, including family planning.
Educated and empowered women willingly choose to have fewer kids, as seen in countries like Bangladesh. Besides, Mazur points out, education and good health services also improve people's lives.
In other words, everything we need to do to slow population growth is something we should be doing anyway.
For The World, I'm Ritu Chatterjee.